Hi, and welcome to the Desert Heights Church Weekly Message, where we study Scripture together verse by verse. Let's jump in now for this week's message.
Now, I'm not going to camp on it. I want to, but we got to hurry. Research has been done on this. Books have been written on this, that the most valuable thing that a father gives to his son is his blessing. That's why we started on Upgrade Sunday. We started doing the Father's Blessing with children who are 12 years old and are aging out of the Sunday school program. It's a time where fathers put their hands on their children and pray God's blessing on their lives. Powerful. I'm already distracted. This is not a passive brush off from Esau. This isn't, it's just my birthright. It's no big deal. I'm hungry. I'm going to eat some stew. It's not passive. The scripture stated it pretty strongly whenever Esau says, or the scripture says that Esau showed contempt, strong word, for his birthright. And other translations say he despised his birthright. This birthright was given to him. He did not earn it. He did not really value it. Evidently, he even resented that he was the firstborn with this birthright. Are you following? All of this greatness is given to Esau. He's in the position. Let me back up just a little bit. He's in a position to receive all of this greatness. You are next in line. The birthright is yours. You're the firstborn son. You own it. It's yours. And he resented that he had this position. He had this birthright. Esau didn't want what his father had to give to him. That was the contemptuous type of person Esau was. In his contempt, Esau gave his birthright to his brother that he didn't even get along with. Listen carefully, church. Esau lost his inheritance. He gave up his inheritance, not just because he was hungry, but because of a temporary desire and his own stubborn pride. He gave up his birthright and all that it was to satisfy a temporary desire. Do you think Esau got hungry again later? Yes, he did. And his own stubborn pride. This means nothing to me. I don't need it. I can do this on my own. I'm my own man. I don't need God's blessing or dad's blessing. I can do whatever I want. I'm fine. Number two, Israel's birthright. Now, as the story goes on, we'll see that Jacob is the son that is blessed by God, and later God will give Jacob the name Israel. Gonna take a drink here while you guys are thinking. Jacob is gonna have his name changed to Israel. This unique blessing, this birthright, has been passed down from Abraham, that we started off with, to Isaac, and now to Jacob, and ultimately it's going to be passed on to the nation of Israel. Are you following with me? We covered a lot of history fast just now. Later on, when God meets with Moses, we'll tell that story when we get there, but I'm just going to refer to it for now. Later on, when God meets with Moses and is explaining what all is going to happen in Egypt, whenever Moses gets to Egypt to lead God's people out of Egypt, God tells Moses in Exodus 4:22, he says, "Then you will tell him," speaking of Pharaoh, "then you will tell him, this is what the Lord says. Israel," speaking of the nation of Israel, "is my," you say it, "firstborn son." Now who has the inheritance? Israel has the inheritance. The nation of Israel has become God's firstborn son. The Hebrew people are God's firstborn people. These are the people that God dotes over like Jacob did Esau. God gives Israel a birthright, a special place in the inheritance of God, a special people. He sets them aside as a special people among all the people of the earth. He says the Hebrew people, the Israelite people, the nation of Israel, they are mine. and I'm going to bless them twice as much as everybody else. A holy people set apart by God. Wow, that's cool, huh? Makes you want to be Hebrew. However, just as Esau showed contempt for his birthright and gave it up out of his own sense of self-importance, Israel will also demonstrate contempt for its God-given birthright as well. We can do this without God. We don't need God's blessing over us. Just like the contempt that was in Esau's heart. I'm distracted with a political conversation. I am terribly distracted. Esau shows contempt for his birthright. Doesn't need his dad's input. Israel shows contempt to God the Father for their birthright. We don't need God. We can do this on our own. America has been voting God out for a long time, expressing explicitly, we do not need God. I will continue in my notes because that's safe. Israel will reject God's covenant. Remember, God made he made a covenant with Noah. He made a covenant with Abraham. He made a covenant with Isaac. He made a covenant with Jacob. Israel will reject God's covenant. They will live in defiance of God's law. They will rebel against God's authority over them, and they will demand a king so that they can be not like children of the everlasting God, but so that they can be like every other nation. You just want to yell moron at them? I'm trying to stop doing that. As a nation, Israel will no longer place its faith in God the Father. The nation of Israel arrogantly, rebelliously sold its birthright for independence from God's oppressive rule. I hope you pick up on my sarcasm. They wanted to make their own rules. They wanted to worship their own gods. They want to worship on their own terms. They want to decide what is right in their own hearts. So if we want to stop and take a stick off the ground and carve it into something and prop it up and pray to it, we want that right. If we want to gather everyone's gold and make a calf and bow down and worship the calf as though it is a god and it is somehow living, we want the right to be stupid. God says, Israel, I'm going to promise you the position of the birthright of the firstborn son, a double portion of the blessing of all of God's heaven poured out on you. And Israel said, no, we think we can do better. Israel gave up their birthright for temporary desire and stubborn pride. I think you can see the parallels to America. Number three, I'm staying away from the political comments. Number three, because there's something bigger happening here, something much more important. How are we doing? We're fine. We're fine. We'll just pray that everybody feels full later. Lord, multiply the communion in our tummies. Verse three. Number three, not verse three. Jesus' birthright. Progression here. Esau's birthright, he rejected it. Israel's birthright, they rejected it. Jesus' birthright, this is going to be unique. The night that God delivered Israel from Egypt, God kills, I know that's another story, we'll get there. Just file this in your brain, it's all going to come together in a year or two. The night that God delivered Israel from Egypt, remember they're enslaved there? God sends Moses to deliver them. God kills all of the firstborn in Egypt. All of the firstborn in Egypt, the firstborn animals and the firstborn people. Are you with me? Does God really do that? He did it. Read the Old Testament. Come on. So after all of the drama, after all that has happened, God tells Moses, In Exodus 13:11, I put the reference in your notes so that you can look at it later. It's going to be on the screen. This is what you must do when the Lord fulfills the promise he swore to you and to your ancestors. When he gives you the land where the Canaanites live, you must present all firstborn sons, picture this, you must present all firstborn sons and firstborn male animals to the Lord, for they belong to God. They belong to God. What belongs to God? The firstborn of sons and the firstborn male animals, bring them to the Lord because they belong to God. Then he says, watch what happens here. Verse 13, a firstborn donkey may be bought back from the Lord by presenting a lamb or a young goat in its place. So you bring your firstborn donkey and you really need it. And so you say, Lord, instead of me leaving my donkey here, I'm going to give you a lamb and I'm going to buy back my donkey because I need my donkey. Okay? But if you do not buy it back, your donkey, you must break its neck. You got to kill it. However, you must buy back every firstborn son. There's a joke there, but this is very serious. You can't come and bring your kids and leave them. God says, nope, you're not sacrificing your sons to me. They belong to me. They already belong to me. You are going to buy them back because you're taking them home. Got that in your mind? You have to buy back your firstborn male children. All of the firstborn males belonged to God. Part of the sacrificial system was that the firstborn male, animal or son, belonged to God. It's part of this idea of the firstborn birthright. Donkeys could be bought back. Sons had to be bought back. Animals not bought back. Say that 10 times fast. Say it twice. Say it once. Animals not bought back were sacrificed. They were killed. Firstborn sons were required to be bought back. Jesus was the firstborn of Joseph and Mary. I fast forwarded in case you're keeping up. Jesus, we go to the New Testament, he's the firstborn of Joseph and Mary. So as soon as Jesus is old enough, they take him to the temple. That gets us to Luke chapter 2, verse 22, where it says, then it was time for their purification offering. It was time for Mary and Joseph's purification offering as required by the law of Moses after the birth of a child. Jesus has just been born. He's old enough now. So his parents took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Why? Because the Lord owns the firstborn. He belongs to God, and they're going to go and they're going to offer a sacrifice to buy their son back. So his parents took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. The law of the Lord says, if a woman's first child is a boy, he must be dedicated to the Lord. So they offered the sacrifice required in the law of the Lord, either a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Joseph and Mary did just as they were supposed to do under the requirements of the Old Testament law of the law of Moses. But the dedication had nothing to do with Jesus' heavenly father. Only has to do with Mary and Joseph. While Joseph is 100% firstborn to Joseph and Mary, Jesus is also 100% firstborn the Son of God. You with me? Jesus has a birthright to the family of Elohim. Oh, that's an inheritance you want to be in on. Jesus has the birthright of a double portion of inheritance. He has the birthright to be the king. He has the birthright to be the priest. That is his heavenly eternal birthright. Because he's firstborn of God. But God chooses, are you there? You okay? Bum, bum, bum. But God chooses not to purchase back his firstborn son. God leaves his son on the altar of sacrifice. God brought his son to the purification ceremony, and he left him there to be sacrificed. Jesus was the sacrifice. There was no lamb, there was no goat, there was no doves to take his place. Jesus was the purification offering. God, did you catch that? He's the offering. God was buying back someone else. Jesus was the replacement sacrifice. He was like the lamb in place of the donkey. Jesus was purifying. He was the purifying sacrifice for some other person. Are you guys with me? You holding on to your chairs? Jesus's birthright will be selflessly applied to those that he died for. Do you see how God did that? Incredible. So, let's talk for a minute about your birthright. We're going to tie all of this together. You and I are not born into the descendants of Abraham. I remember preaching about this years ago, and a guy came up to me after service in all sincerity, and he asked me, he said, I can trace my roots back to the Hebrew people. So because I'm a descendant of Abraham, I'm already saved, right? Wrong. Wrong. Even if you are a descendant of Abraham, you would have to be a firstborn in the descendant of Abraham to receive any sort of birthrights whatsoever. But those are earthly birthrights, and they mean incredibly nothing compared to the birthright that we have. Oh, I'm getting ahead of myself. I hate it whenever I do that. The birthright that we have in Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 11, verse 28, it's a lengthy passage, but this is a fantastic scripture. Many of the people of Israel are now enemies of the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. They say, yeah, Jesus died on the cross. He brought all these things, but we don't believe in that. We don't like that. We want to sacrifice our donkey. We don't want to sacrifice the Son of God. We want the birthright of just a double portion of what material things. We don't want a double portion of God's eternity. Many of the people of Israel are now enemies of the good news, and this benefits you Gentiles. That's you and I. We're the Gentiles. Yet they, Israel, are still the people he loves because he chose their ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. For God's gifts and his call can never be withdrawn. So remember, God makes a covenant to the people. They reject him. Guess what God does? He still keeps his covenant. Wow. Verse 30. Once you Gentiles were rebels against God. Don't raise your hand right now. But when the people of Israel rebelled against him, God was merciful to you instead. Us, those of us who were Gentiles in rebellion against God. Verse 31. Now they are the rebels, and God's mercy has come to you so that they too will share in God's mercy. Verse 32. For God has imprisoned everyone in disobedience so he can have mercy on who? Everyone. Wow. He just took the blessing of the firstborn and he stretched it out so that it covers all of us. And then this next part is just exciting, so I put it in there. Verse 33, he says, oh, how great are God's riches and wisdom and knowledge. How impossible it is for us to understand his decisions and his ways. For who can know the Lord's thoughts? Who knows enough to give God advice? And who can give him so much that he needs to pay it back? And then verse 36, he says, for everything comes from him and exists by his power and is intended for his glory. All glory to him forever and ever. Amen. church. God planned for Israel to reject its birthright so that God could share that birthright with all of us. It was all part of his grand plan. This had to happen so that God's mercy could be offered to you and I. Jesus has the ultimate birthright. His birthright is to an eternal inheritance. His birthright is the true eternal priesthood. His birthright is a part of God's heavenly family, not the earthly family. His heavenly family. God didn't buy Jesus back. Jesus stayed on the altar of sacrifice. Jesus, we could say, paid it all. Jesus was the purification offering. Jesus was the high price that purchased you and I, that Paul speaks about in 1 Corinthians 6:20. I didn't put it in there, but it's good. You ought to write it down. It is because Jesus was our sacrifice that we get to receive his inheritance. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22 and 23, it says, "No, you have come to Mount Zion." If you were here last week, I read about Zion in the psalm when we started service, and it's the seat of God's reign. It's where he rules from. So it's a poetic way of setting up God's throne. He says, "No, you have come to Mount Zion." Picture that in your brain. You have come to Mount Zion. God sits on his throne on the mount, and this is where the King of Kings rules for all eternity, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to countless thousands of angels in a joyful gathering. And you have come to the assembly of God's firstborn children, whose names are written in heaven. Amen, Brent. That's good preaching, Brent. My goodness, I love that. I think I'm going to go to heaven. It is through faith in the Lord Jesus that you and I are made God's firstborn children, whose names are written down in heaven as God's firstborn children. We are first in line for the birthright of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because you earned it. You're goofy. No, you didn't earn it. Jesus bought it for you. God has gone out of his way to give you the eternal birthright. He wants to give you a heavenly inheritance. God wants you to receive a double portion of his goodness and his grace. Look at your neighbor and say, "We need it." We need a double portion of God's goodness and grace because we're a bunch of screw-ups. And we need this every day, don't we? Don't be like Esau. Don't sell your birthright just to satisfy a temporary desire or your stubborn pride. Maybe you can do some things. I will be the first to admit, I can do stuff. I like to do stuff. But I cannot do what God has done. Esau cannot earn the double portion that was his. It belonged to him. He rejected it. He showed contempt for it. Don't be like Esau. Instead, put your trust in Jesus, who purchases your birthright with the sacrifice of his own blood that we just celebrated in communion. Jesus has made it possible for you to be born for his glory. But Brent, I prefer my own glory. That's what Esau did. I think I can do some things on my own, and I prefer my own sense of authority and governing, and that's what Israel did. Instead of being like Esau and Israel, let's take a moment to model our lives after Jesus and say, this is not my life. My life is not my own. It was bought with a price, and it belongs to an eternal heavenly Father who can love me more than I can ever imagine. And so I'm going to trust. I'm going to trust. Here's the deal that we make with God. Here's the deal we make with God. I'm going to surrender my pathetic life for his glory. That's a deal you want to make. I'm going to ask you all to bow your heads. We don't do this very often, but it's a salvation message. God is explaining his salvation in the history of the Hebrew people. I want to challenge you this morning. If you have not placed your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, today is the day. If you have maybe made verbal commitments to the Lord, but you haven't given him your heart and trusted him with all of your life. This is not, Lord, I'm going to give you a little bit. I'm going to give you Sunday morning and I'm going to say that I trust in you. I'm saying I want you to surrender all of who you are to the kingdom of eternity and trust that Jesus will forgive you of all of your sins. And even more than that, he's going to give you a double portion of God's inheritance in your life. He's going to give you eternal life. With your heads bowed, I'm just going to lead in prayer. I want you to pray along with me. Wherever you're at in your faith, I hope that you'll pray along with me. Father, this morning we are humbled by your greatness. We are humbled that you meticulously work out a perfect plan of salvation so that we can perfectly be your children. We have the right to become children of God. It's miraculous. It's glorious. It's so far beyond us that, Lord, this morning, we, with all of our hearts, we lean into you and we trust that you will apply the blood of Jesus over our hearts, over our souls, over our spirit, over our lives, that you will wash us white as snow. Father, that you will purchase us into your kingdom, purchase us into your family, cause us to be born again, not of flesh and blood, but of the Spirit of the living God, that we can be the firstborn in the kingdom of heaven. Father, this morning, I trust that you write our names down in heaven as your children, as your firstborn children. Lord, we surrender our lives to you, that you be glorified. Father, we want you to be exalted in our lives. We give you all that we are. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
You have been listening to the Desert Heights Church weekly message. We meet on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. on Main Street in Farmington, New Mexico. If you'd like more information, please visit our website at desertheightschurch.com.